Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 125. And I left my teeth in the other room. With me this week, in order of pictures appearing on the screen, are Rhys Parton.
Hello.
Robert Haynes.
Hello.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
John, hello. Oh,
God. Oh, and Mary Lang.
Hello.
Oh, I thought you might sing this week.
Right. I can't. Right. Sunday.
No. Right.
Monday morning, you mean.
Something rather urgent has cropped up, it's a need to gate crash the Omega podcast. I'll bet you they finish recording, though, by the time we actually get through it. Let's see what happens here when we gate crash the Omega podcast. One of you might drop off this call. That's what happened last time. Oh. They say busy. They're cheeky.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Cheeky they sucks. Asked me to call them. Or did they?
Wendell's online. You just gotta call him directly.
Yeah.
No, I haven't got Wendell's.
It might still be recording.
No, it says, can we call you? All right. I'll send him a message. There we go. I've sent him a message, or them a message, depending on what it is. Here we go. I just want to know, has anybody seen any of Reese's video podcasts?
I haven't seen both of them.
Yet.
And I left him a comment too.
Yes, I saw that comment.
Yeah, I saw that there.
It had to be deleted by the mediators, or they call them on there.
Reese, did you see my comment on your YouTube page?
A very obscene. I was disgusted, Robert.
After your mum. It's a comment after your mum. I thought he did well. He did a little David Tennant bit.
He loves the camera and the camera loves him. What I was very pleased to see that he wasn't...
You're very photogenic, Reese.
Yeah, he wasn't wearing the tie that he's wearing in his Skype picture.
Ah, the piano tie.
I can't imagine David Tennant in one of those.
Anyway, what are the Omega podcast? Have I got another message off them? Can you give us 10 minutes?
10 minutes? What kind of... what do you think this podcast is?
Hang on. See if they can read this.
Going to interrupt them leisurely.
Back.
Okay, while you're trying, I'm going to let my cat out. I'll be back.
She'll be back.
We'll
put the cat out? I didn't know it was on fire.
Cool. Did you hear the cat? The cat meows like a creaking door. Do you hear that?
You should hear my cats. I got one sitting on me at the moment, clawing my legs.
Okay, right then. So what we're going to do now is this thing called feedback. Something's going funny here.
Ow, this is my cat. Ow.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in some feedback on the Doctor Who animated story, The Infinite Quest. I didn't think I'd see this day quite so soon, but I'm afraid I must agree with Alicia's thoughts from last week on this. It's not that good. I know this was done originally as a series of 5-minute episodes for Totally Doctor Who, and that might explain my big issue with the omnibus version on the DVD. The problem is that this feels incredibly rushed throughout. It simply never stays anywhere long enough to flesh anything out, be it the characters or indeed the actual locations, such as the planet with the oil pirates, which is a fascinating idea and indeed quite relevant to the current world situation. But it's completely underdeveloped. The story honestly feels like what would happen if, say, the Keys of Marinus or indeed the Key to Time season from the old series were done as a single 45-minute new series episode. And I think, actually, the comparisons to that's quite relevant. Like Keys of Marinus, we're changing locations, it seems, every episode. And also the comparisons to Key to Time in that this is a big quest spanning time and space in the universe. But the problem, I think, is that at least in those cases, even in the case of Keys of Marinus, where you were changing, you know, locations every week, you know, the locations were fleshed out and the characters were fleshed out. And that simply just does not happen here. Alan Barnes, who wrote this, has done very good work for the Big Finish audios, such as Paul McGann's first audio adventure, Storm Warning, back in 2001. So I wonder how much of this cramming and underdevelopment is down to the constraints rather than his skills as a writer. Also, I think this actually suffers from the reverse of the classic series. We talk about sometimes with the classic series that when you watch like a six-parter, it all in one go, it gets really slow in the middle because it wasn't meant to be watched that way. It was meant to be watched one episode a week, not in continuous order, episodes 1 to 6. And I think this actually has the reverse problem. I wonder if this would actually be better watching it as individual 5-minute episodes rather than as one long 45-minute story, so to speak. In short, I really can't recommend this. If you haven't seen it, rent it from Netflix or whatever your equivalent may be, because even though the DVD is pretty cheap, it was about $10 when I looked at my local Barnes & Noble store the other night, you probably won't watch this a second time. I know I won't. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
I will reserve my thoughts on the episode in question after we've completed feedback, etc. But, thank you.
Can I just say, he does a very good review, doesn't he?
He's very professional. Yeah. Do you know who he reminds me of?
Yes, he does.
Do you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Dr. Phil. He has a very...
Oh, yeah.
You're right. When I came back in and I didn't know who was talking, that's who I thought it was initially.
He certainly has a certain Dr. Phil-ness about it. Don't feel insulted, Dr. Phil. Don't feel insulted, Matthew. Although, I can reach his computer's playing up just as I was about to do some stuff on it. See, I told you we needed to get her moving a bit quicker, but you lot have to waffle. Right.
Waffle? Not waffle. Says Mr. Waiting to Call the Omega Podcast.
Says Mr. Innuendo Stroke Cheek. I'm getting a buzzing.
Well, yes. Who's cheeky for stroking?
I'm glad I switched back to the Olympics while doing that, because they just showed Mo Farah getting his gold medal. And
wish we could see that stuff. NBC is still showing stuff not live.
Jeez.
I know Ben would say it. Maybe it's because maybe they would do if America was top of the medal table.
Probably, yeah.
Well, this is probably live, but I'd rather see something else.
They will be soon.
Then this is volleyball.
Well, volleyball.
Not beach. Not beach.
Ooh.
Do we prefer the beach volleyball then?
Well, yes.
No comment.
Well, I think it's tough when the games are happening, 5 hours ahead of, anybody here watching it.
Well, I have to say, obviously being a big fan of the Olympics for many years and big fan of Wimbledon for many years, seeing Andy Murray win at Wimbledon in a final against such a brilliant player as Roger Federer was particularly pleasing today.
I saw that.
I was on my feet.
and updating Facebook every 5 minutes as well.
Now, all I have to do is click on yes, hold the power cable in position, and here we go.
You have a message connecting you. Wait for it. Now. Greetings. It's Lewis, the kid from the future. Back again, with some audio feedback from the restaurant at the end of the podcast. There's a big crowd here tonight to listen to your review of Utopia. I can see a Scooby-Doo villain on a nearby table. He's just had his plot foiled by a group of young Olympians, and he's furious. He would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
I'd have gotten away with it.
There's also a group of 20 megabyte worshippers. They truly believe Reese Parton is going to show up before the end of the podcast. You've got to admire their beliefs. Now, I managed to work out the cryptic message hidden in Professor Young Oz's name, but I've still got to crack this other code. 2, 1, dot, Co.UK. I'm sure there's a secret message hidden there, but I can't work it out. This is Lewis, voice of a thousand podcasts, signing off.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Hello?
Hello!
Hello! Now, a very strange thing has happened. I think everybody else has just got, everybody else just got kicked off. Let's see if we've gone.
You might have to call, add them to this one.
Yeah, I shall. It says, okay. Hold on, if I hang that one up, this is highly technical. Right, hang that one up and then add them to this one. Here we go. They're probably sitting at the other end of their what you call it, completely bewildered. Oh, doesn't he like us anymore?
No, I don't.
Not you, for God's sake.
You don't like anybody, Randolph.
Right, let's see if we can find another one of them. Reese, somebody or other?
I think you're going to have to add them to this call.
Yeah, I'm doing that now.
Okay. I see they tried to call me.
I'm on it. Did they? They're cheeky, aren't they?
They call you?
Here we go. Now, I've tried to add it, and nothing's happened.
I see the lines.
Has it? Oh, hang on. Hang on. Let's see if this works.
Hang on.
I'm trying to add you to the other calls. If I hang up, listen, please. I'm going to hang up. I'm going to try and add you to the other call because I can't connect them two together. So please behave yourselves. I'm just going to hang up and wait for me to call you.
What?
Sorry, my fault. Sorry, I tried to tell them to hang up and wait for me to call them the naughty people.
Okay.
Right, now I'm going to have another go. Here we go. Stress. Here we go. I bet it doesn't work.
My fingers are crossed.
Hmm. Guess what?
Didn't work?
No. Isn't that weird? Is it just automatic adding to the other call? What's going on?
You want me to try adding them?
Yeah, trying them. See if that works. You must have the power, because I haven't.
Last time we did this, I just ended up adding...
That's it.
Mary's not on, right?
Yeah, she should be there.
Okay.
I'll try adding Mary. Maybe it's because I tried adding all at the same time.
Hang on.
What's going on here? They're all there now.
We have Robin and Kirby. And Reese. Oh. And just waiting for Mary to pick up.
Mary.
All right, there's just too many people. I gotta go. Bye.
Oh, dear me. This shouldn't be as stressful as it is.
Luckily for me, it's 5 in the morning and I can't feel any stress at all.
Mary's probably wondering who she's...
3:17 in the morning.
Oh, she's there. Hello, Mary.
Well, hello.
Were you wondering who...
She's getting put on hold.
Were you wondering who the hell was calling you?
Yes. Yeah, because it wasn't a regular ring. It was like a beep, 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 beep.
Yes, that's what it's like in that neck of the woods. They have these strange technologies that we're unaware of. Anyway, right, yes. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
We figured that since we crashed your guys' party last month, that we maybe would let you guys crash ours for a couple minutes and see how things are going.
It was more of
doesn't being... Doesn't seem quite as fun when you have permission, though.
Yeah, but it was more of being dragged in off the street than being crashed. And we were just happily minding our own business. This great big shepherd's hook just grabbed me by the neck and hooked me into the Omega podcast.
So what are you guys talking about on the 20 megabyte podcast this week?
I'll tell you what. Right, the original plan was to talk about... Will you be quiet?
Not something we're terribly proud of.
Allow me to finish
survival,
the sentence.
Isn't it?
Was to talk about the Infinite Quest. But everybody started moaning about
rubbish,
it.
Rubbish.
Wait, hang on. Kirby, we haven't even reviewed it yet. Stop interrupting. Anyway, they moaned so much.
How do you
much.
Really feel?
They moaned so much we decided to do Utopia as well.
Okay.
So don't
we had
how...
a little bit of mutiny. Are you
talking about Robert again?
Yeah, my favourite letter. Did you races.
Mary, you do realise Robert is actually online at the moment when you say such things about him. Very
I'm sure
harsh.
He takes it well.
I don't know. Do you take it well, Robert?
I'm still half asleep.
And not to put you Not to put you guys on the spot here, but last week at the top on the 20 megabyte countdown, where was the Omega podcast and where was the 20 megabyte podcast?
Someone's fixed it. I don't know what's going on there.
That's a stinging thing.
Now, to go back to the Japanese... Sorry, if we go back to the Olympics, if we were a Japanese team, we'd be going and challenging the decision. But we're technically a British-based podcast, but we just grin and bear it.
they think it's... I enjoy it that there's like every other week it's like back and forth where you guys are ahead of us and then it just keeps rotating around. So I think that's great.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I just don't enjoy it at all. When you go past, it gets really boring when we go past wherever we are on the charts. Do I sound like a bad loser?
Yes.
Wee bit.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Talking of charts, I'm going to do something fancy here because I happen to have them here. Who shall I send them to?
What's going on, Adam?
You can you not hear me, Robert?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
What's going on? You've got the charts already.
Gonna put it in the randomizer.
Yeah, I had an hour to spare just before I started recording. hang on, my dog is trying to get in.
So are you going to give us a little...
Do you want to hear the charts?
Peek?
Oh, hang on. Oh, I suppose I could read them out. I was going to get someone else to read them out, but I suppose I could read them out myself, couldn't I? Trouble is, I always cock it up, but never mind, I'll do it anyway.
Wendell reader.
How can I get them to Wendell? Because all I've got is the Omega. Oh, hang on, there he is there. I wonder if I can get it. How do I send you a message on this thing? Instant message. Here we go.
Cut and paste it.
Let's see if this works.
That's how.
Are we ready?
Instant message.
Oh, there we go. And send. There you go, Wendell. Can you see it?
I don't see anything.
Mission accomplished.
Yay!
Just make it up.
So did you see
this week's top point of Doctor Who charts?
I really don't see anything.
God's sake, right, hang on.
Oh, I see it. It's on mine, Adam. It says at number 25.
Hang on, don't
20
don't,
megabyte don't, podcast.
Whoa.
And number one, the Omega podcast.
You should have the wrong
Right, okay.
Isn't that top 30?
Adam, you sent them to the wrong person.
Right, let's try this. I'll do it this way, see if this works.
Okay.
Right. Has anybody at the Omega podcast got that instant message?
I do.
Ah.
Are you serious this time or joking?
No, serious.
Oh.
Go on then, Wes. Let's have the top 30.
Oh, I get to do the top 30?
Yeah, in reverse order. That's from the bottom upwards. Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of...
Cue the music.
All right.
Cue the music.
You love saying that, don't
you? At number 30, we have... What's that?
This is an audition. Okay. Pressure is on.
At number 30, we have a re-entry for Under the Miniscope. Number 29, re-entry for The Oncoming Storm. 28, re-entry for the Cultum Collective podcast. 27 is re-entry of Dirty Hooers. Number 26, re-entry of The Sonic Toolbox. 25, re-entry of Traveling the Vortex. 24, re-entry for TARDIS Blend. Did I screw up already?
No.
No.
Okay.
What came before that? 25?
Wyatt.
23, Up 4, Earth Station 1.
What was 24 then?
Robert.
Counting is hard.
It is. These numbers and such. 22,
One.
Up 6, Tim's Take On. 21, a re-entry of Drunken Time Travel.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Let's see if he says this one right.
20, re-entry for the Hap Penis Patrol.
That wasn't really long enough.
No, you did have a one out of five.
Did sound a bit obscene, to be honest with you, but carry on.
19, re-entry for the Bigger on the Inside, which is kind of funny.
That's what she
said. Right after the Hap Penis Patrol.
Go on, Reese, spit it out.
All right.
That's what she said.
These are the X-rated charts.
18, Up 7, Staggering Stories. 17, re-entry for The Time Vault. 16, re-entry of Earth Station. Let's see here. 15, Up 6, Doctor Who Revisited. Number 14, re-entry for The Historian. 13, Up 11, Playing Doctor, which is Reese's favorite game, I heard.
Good shot.
That's what she said.
And the court said to stop. 12, Up 7, Bad Wolf.
She loves it.
Oh, poor Will.
Yep. Congratulations, Martin. 11, up 4, The Doctor's Companion. Number 10, Reentry of a Madman with a Box. 9, A Non-Mover, which actually is what I heard about Reese as well. Mostly Harmless Cutaway.
Okay, stop picking on her.
Okay,
no,
I'm sorry.
No. Keep going. Please keep going. It's quite fun.
Adam just wants to take it away from him.
8, up 2, The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Class. Absolute class. It's a travesty in a class.
Up two, though. You're complaining. You're up two. Yeah. Number 7.
I know I am.
Number 7, Reentry, The Naked Scarf. Number 6, up 2, The Omega Podcast.
Boo.
Never heard of
them.
I've heard of them.
5, up 1, The Memory Cheats. 4, a reentry of The Impossible Podcast.
It's impossible.
3, up 1, The DWO WhoCast. Number 2, a reentry of The Tin Dog, The Copper Dog Podcast. And number 1, up 1, The Doctor Who Podcast.
Fix. It's a fix.
It is a fix.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
That's actually very good.
In a groove.
Reese, you're a good sport, sir.
Is he? If that's true, though, Wes. Is it series or cereal? I've got series. What's it? What do you call it, Reese?
Season.
He calls
season.
It a season.
Yeah, that's right. So yep. What is it then?
It is.
No,
we
it's
call
like series. That's a cereal.
Now we've got 7 people here to. Or is it 8?
Yes, 7 incorrect people.
Frosted Flakes is a cereal.
7, that would include you then, Reese. Yep. So you're admitting it's incorrect.
No. Yeah, I'm admitting series is incorrect.
There was 8 people, isn't it?
I'm a person, Adam.
Well, I wouldn't say I wasn't counting you. I'm just counting the amount of people I've got on the screen. Don't get so sensitive. I know it's the middle of the night for you, Robert.
You two need a timeout.
Yeah. Well, what time? Well, it is timeout for Robert. It's probably
timeout.
3:30 in the morning. But anyway, yeah. So, what are you reviewing on the Omega podcast this week that warrants 2 places above us in the charts?
Well, it might drop much lower this week because we're reviewing Survival, the final classic Doctor Who story.
Did you really have to do that one?
Isn't
it?
Well, we actually.
Why did we decide that anyhow?
I think it's because we hadn't seen it, and
that might have been. It's not bad.
No, well, no,
I didn't.
It's all right.
I like it. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
We'll agree to disagree on that one, Kirby.
No, I think all right.
I think this. I think the story was okay, but the how they filmed it was bad, right. And then Liz kind of came across that the story just had tons of errors, and that was her biggest issue with it, wasn't it, Liz?
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't make... There just seemed to be information missing from the story that...
Did they...
Maybe I'm just too stupid to understand it. I don't know.
Did they not cut quite
enough
out of it?
I know it was edited down. Yes, yes, they did, yeah.
This was the problem with that story is it was the last of the classic era, and it was a real bad one to go out on.
Right.
And they did change the order. You know,
Ghostlight was actually filmed last.
And I think it would probably been better to have gone out with Ghostlight rather than the Survival. I know they couldn't have had the walking away into the sunset scene like they did at the end of Survival, but they could have just
the TARDIS.
Well, they could have just cut that scene out, really, to be honest with you. It's a real shame that they had it that way around, but of course they didn't know that was the end when they did that.
I agree with you that Ghostlight would have been a much better way to finish up the series at that point.
Yeah. But yeah,
you hear that, Reese? Series.
Ooh, series.
Yeah, the whole classic series, they're finishing it up. They finished the last season of that series.
No, you said series.
Oh,
no, you did say series.
I said series because I was referring to the classic series.
Oh, God.
But it's made up of seasons.
You're changing the rules as you go, aren't you?
That horse has been beaten enough.
That's why I reposted the trailer.
Dirty man, you.
Actually, we talked about the
Nice
Series
segue.
7 trailer.
Nice segue.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I was going to talk about next.
How about if, before we boot you guys off, you know, we reviewed it.
Ow.
Is there... that's how we roll in Minnesota. if you had to sum up the Series 7 trailer in one word, what would it be?
Exciting.
We'll make Adam go first.
I said it. I said exciting.
Oh, exciting. Okay.
Yes. Can't
wait.
That
was my word too, Adam.
How about you, Mary?
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. Okay. Robert?
Awesome, awesome.
Stop nicking other people's ideas, Robert. For God's sake.
Kirby, what was your one word?
Geronimo.
Ah, yeah. All right, Reese?
Minecraft.
Spectacular.
What? Spectacular.
Did Reese just say Minecraft?
No, he said spectacular.
No, I know.
I know, but it's missing that wonderful line from the first trailer that they showed where he is saying, oh, he names a whole bunch of, you know, wild and crazy, scary things and says, has somebody been reading my Christmas list? I love that line.
Yeah.
What about dinosaurs on a spaceship?
God help us.
Well, at least that confirmed that wasn't just a rumor.
Yeah.
No, it's true. The real title.
Yeah, it's a real title.
I think it's this series' Let's Kill Hitler type of title.
Yeah. Or could be the Pirates in the Caribbean. Oh, what's it called again? Curse of the Bad Plot. No,
the Pirates.
That's the one, yeah. But just on the subject of the trailer, what about the artwork we see before? Obviously, they show you some artwork and you click on it, plays the trailer.
Right, the image that they released the day before you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of Karen Amy.
With the special weapons Dalek. But there seems to be in that artwork different sort of types of Dalek, you know, from different eras.
Yeah, there's a Dalek in there from the Daleks.
Yeah, the original Daleks, yeah.
They said every single series Dalek is in there, apparently.
Every design.
Yeah, cool. Well, just in the artwork or in the episode itself?
Well, in the image itself.
In the episode.
Cool. Yeah, we know in the episode, but in the image that there's a whole lot.
In Doctor Who magazine, probably the issue before the one you got, Kirby, they had on the cover every single Dalek, barring the glass Dalek from Revelation of the Daleks and some other one, I can't remember.
And there was
they had it. Oh, on the cover, yeah, the magazine. On the cover of Doctor Who magazine, issue before the one Kirby bought.
Oh, but I got the issue after the one Kirby bought, the one which compares the second one. Doctor with the 11th Doctor. I've read bits of it, but the bits I have read have been fantastic, and they've changed the design and the cover, and it came with some really good posters. And you can buy those at www.whoone.co.uk.
Nice plug.
Would that be whoone.co.uk?
Hang on, didn't I just say that?
Say again, Kirby?
I've ordered toys from those guys before. They do good work.
You're a good pair of people. Trio of people. Sorry, Liz. Sorry, I got one. I do get my
toys. I noticed in the trailer when they're looking at the Daleks, the close-up of the Daleks shows at least two different kinds, but then when they pull back to that whole arena of Daleks, they all look the same.
Yeah, they're all there. Yeah.
Like that Series 5. Not Series 5, but the earlier series with Eccleston and Tennant.
Series 1, and
Daleks.
You know, I can't wait. I mean, it's obviously they just said they're recording the Christmas special, or they sort of imply they're recording.
Did a read-through.
Yeah, did the read-through.
So I'm wondering if when they announce the special guest star in a few hours, if they will also be announcing an actual premiere date.
It's going to be the Queen.
Oh, she was good, though, wasn't she? I tell you, she was excellent. Yeah. She was excellent. She really played the Queen particularly well in that thing at the Olympics. And they have played, the BBC played it loads
of times.
That's
why I'm saying she's probably going to be
in the news.
And the corgis, I tell you what, those corgis were much better in that particular clip than they were when they were in Doctor Who a few years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
They were.
Well, guys, I hear the vortex opening up here. It's nice having you guys on. Great.
Wes, you can get ointment for that, you know. I know you have to pay for
that. That was a step too far.
You have to pay for your health care in America, but you can definitely get some cream for
it. We were doing so well right up to there, Adam.
That'd be a first. 125 episodes, and I find him doing all right, so that's great.
Well, thank you guys for being on. What's the best place for our listeners to get over to your site?
We'll come over to the Isle of Wight, and I'll give you a disc with it on, or you can go on to iTunes. Or via the Podbean website and just look for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, or just ask Reese and he'll probably get it to you somehow.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. It was great having you on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I've got to hang up and get them back on again. How do you do this thing? Oh, they've hung me up anyway. Right, here we go.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, and you're listening to the 20 Megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah.
This is Toby Haydoke, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
This is Toby Whithouse, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
The past is another country. 1987's just the Isle of Wight.
No, not TV8!
I only had a very brief period of time to actually watch this last night, and bearing in mind I was quite tired, etc., because I'd been filming and editing all day, and the only time I got was to watch it at 11:30 at night.
All together now.
I'm trying to remember. The plot.
There isn't one.
Now it
there
starts.
Was a plot?
Well, it Keys starts
of the
off
time, and errors.
With this baddie played by Anthony Head doing his mwahahaha stuff and a sort of tin metal parrot.
They're just about to destroy the Earth or something, weren't they?
Yeah, and the Doctor and Martha turn up.
His name is Balthazar.
Balthazar, that's it. Doctor and Martha turn up.
Isn't he from Battlestar Galactica?
Briefly defeat him, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
And then
that's Dr. Baltar.
To thank Martha. Yes. Well, then they go down to a planet and Kor, this bird has suddenly grown very big, spits out a few items.
He didn't suddenly grow very big. He looked big behind him anyway.
There was a problem with the perspective. He was big all along. It's just the way that it looked. I thought he was just closer to the, quote, camera.
Fair enough. But nevertheless, he spits out a sort of brooch thing, which Martha wears, and it turns out to be a sort of a tracking device.
That's Squawk.
Yeah, but we didn't know it was Squawk until later on, did we?
Was that obvious or what?
I don't know. It wasn't obvious when I watched it originally.
Yeah, it wasn't obvious to me.
I just remind people, though, that this was made really for kids, though.
Yeah, right. We're just trying to assess it as a story, because Sarah Jane Adventures is made for kids, and it's very good. So we're just trying to sort of, you know. But, no, so basically after this, they go on the quest for these little chips, don't they? Computer chips of some variety.
Data chips,
that's it. So they just bounce around various places. It's a bit like a cross between The Keys of Marinus and The Chase, but they're not being chased by Daleks. So it was very fast.
And The Key to Time.
That's right. It was very fast moving. The voice acting was very, very good all round. The soundscape was very good. I think it would have made quite a good audio play if you'd shut your eyes. Mm-hmm. The animation was
but,
yes.
I did have a bit of a problem, as I seem to have. I think they always have the music up a bit too loud.
Yeah, you're probably right. I wouldn't disagree with that. But basically, so it's very fast moving. I think that's the only problem. It was just, and obviously, it was made to be little 5-minute inserts to Totally Doctor Who. So, in that aspect,
Adam was complaining about how fast moving it was. Yeah. Has he watched any children's television lately? Because it does; it moves very fast.
Yeah. But this is extremely fast. Yes.
I don't know whether anybody else has watched it as the 5-minute episodes or however long they were, but you comparing the two. Did you enjoy it as the small episodes or as the omnibus edition?
Well, I'm impatient, so I would prefer to watch it in an omnibus. I'm assessing it because the version I've got was the omnibus version, which the BBC put together and showed one Christmas, and I dumped it on a DVD. All I'm saying is that I'm trying to give it the good points before I go down to the bad points. I mean, it was okay, difficult to keep track with the plot. There was obviously a murder scenario going on because characters were just sort of suddenly disappearing from the scene and then disappearing and then dying. And then, of course, he wants his heart's desire, which is this, you know, the infinite, which apparently is some ship, a bit like the
Titan.
And
tell you what, Martha, you know, when her heart's desire appeared, obviously that's harks back to the series we've just been watching too, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to watch it.
Martha's pining after the Doctor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like her embarrassment of that. Oh well, my heart desire, heart's in doubt.
Yeah,
heart's desire indeed.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what 6 o'clock in the morning does to the mouth.
Of course, they come to the Doctor, and the Doctor won't reveal his heart's desire.
You know what my funniest bit though was when they're on that pirate ship. And she says, "Hold on tight," and both the Doctor and Martha hold on tight to each other.
It
says, "No one to the rails."
I'm glad you noticed a good bit on it. I mean, It wasn't, I mean, that, I'm trying to be kind to it, but it wasn't very good, to be honest with you. I don't know if this had been sort of stretched out to like a feature length thing and actually thought of as a feature length story, they might have.
I don't think
a bit
anything
better.
Could have saved it.
No, I just think it was designed to be the small episode, so.
Yeah, it's a bit of a thin story, so I don't think it would have.
It
stretched out well.
Does one thing make her look like a work of art, to be honest with you.
On the pirate ship segments, I'm wondering if that influenced Moffat with Science in the Library.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Moffat can't come up with his own ideas?
Well, you know, the skeletons. Yeah.
The skeletons inside the space suits.
Absolutely.
With
yeah.
the lights.
Absurd.
Yeah, with the lights on the inside of the helmets, yes.
They don't have eyes. Man. They don't need to see out of the helmet.
That's right.
I like the animation of the oil platform, so I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, the animation was not bad at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
Than the later animated one.
Now, I'd just like to apologise to listeners who just got a blast of the Doctor Who theme, because I just clicked on something. Sorry about that, listeners.
I didn't hear a thing.
Well, you didn't, because it's coming through
my
feed.
I didn't hear anything.
Well, you wouldn't do, would you? Because it was coming through my earphones. No. It was more of a... Because it was the Murray Gold.
Prepared your one.
Murray Gold version. But anyway, yes.
Well, and then those soldiers with the fish head, the Meergrass, I think it was called.
Yeah,
Ulysses Meergrass. I just wonder if that was an influence for the next series.
Yeah,
with the doctor's daughter. Yeah. Because that looks very similar.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was. Yes.
Balthazar's little thing.
Yeah, the things by his spring. Thing. Yeah, he had to be breathing through the, what's the names?
Yeah, I mean, I still think, and it wasn't brilliant, but there were good things about it, and I think they could have done better if they'd stretched it out a bit and just taken a few things out and turned it into a full-length feature cartoon. Rather than the little
that costs money.
I know, but they made the animation. They made the animation.
Did anybody watch the extras?
What extras?
Yes, I watched watching them voice their parts.
Yeah,
no, I watched the extras when I first got the disc, but I and didn't watch the actual story when I first got the disc. And this time, I didn't watch the extras.
Yeah, well, can I just say, my disc was recorded off the telly, so I haven't got anything with extras on it. So,
but Martha was just laughing all through the thing. It seemed.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got quite an education in doing voiceovers.
Yeah. No, she was okay. She wasn't brilliant in this. I have to say, you know, it wasn't quite her, was it? But it was okay.
Once again, the doctor's companion is trying to mimic the accent she hears around her. You know, Martha's trying to do the pirate thing, and the doctor turns to her and says, no, don't do that. Don't ever do that.
I love that.
But then, doesn't that get repeated in The Curse of the Bad Plot? A bit of piratey voices.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what I said.
Yes.
But the 11th Doctor does it and then says, I should... Maybe not, or something like that.
Yeah.
They go, does nobody actually say that?
it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
Did anybody else notice that the doctor seemed a bit dumb at times, with Martha saying something to do something, and the doctor says, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Martha.
Oh, he's always saying to her, you know, brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. Through the whole season, she goes, he's always turning to her and going, oh, brilliant.
But like I say, in this particular story, it would have been every week he might have said that. But when you're watching it as an omnibus and you're saying it every 5 minutes, that's
what
it gets a bit annoying.
Me,
So
I
on
thought
the whole,
Tennant's the best part of it, actually.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
His enthusiasm came across.
But he's a seasoned voice actor, isn't he? He's done lots of Big Finish things, and radio plays and stuff like that. So he's very used to it, and he was spot on. And so was Anthony Head. In fact, most of the vocal performances.
Ah, that Toby guy who did Core, I reckon he's an excellent actor.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy in the extras Martha learning from both Anthony Head and from David Tennant how to change your pages without making the rattling noise.
Scrumpling them
I guess I'm going to have to watch the extras.
I'm going to have to get the DVD with the extras on it. But just to sum up with this particular
there aren't
film,
that many extras.
If you haven't seen it, I think it's worth getting. What the blimey? I'm just watching the Olympics, and there's a bloke running with
it's a bloke running.
No stilts.
That's a Paralympic. That Paralympic
that's
thing.
The
isn't
blade.
It?
No. That's the Blade Runner.
Yeah, but is that not a Paralympic thing?
No. He's allowed to.
Harrison Ford did it.
Is he?
No, that's what his nickname is, the Blade Runner.
And he's allowed to run in
yeah, they allowed one guy like that to run. Yeah.
Really? Oh, lovely. Yep. Anyway, right, back to Doctor Who. Moving on. Right, so I'm now going to talk about Utopia. Now, did everybody get a chance?
Can we sum up with our thoughts?
No. We all decided it was rubbish. Oh, go on then.
I didn't say it was rubbish. I just reckon it was probably designed for the five-minute episodes, and if I'd watched it in maybe that format, which I reckon the DVD should have allowed us to, I maybe would have enjoyed it a bit more. And there were some nice moments, and the animation was nice.
I agree.
And it's not bad. Yeah, mainly for kids, though, really, I guess.
I don't think a mainly for kids thing can be an excuse, because there's so many brilliant things for kids out there. And,
that's right.
I'm not going to hold that as an excuse.
I'm thinking maybe a bit younger than the audience who watches Sarah.
not having it. I'm sorry, but a lot of I speak obviously having young children and having children in the house of that sort of occasion, having cartoons constantly on the TV all the time. There is some brilliant stuff for young kids on TV. Yeah.
I agree.
As long as you don't watch the Disney Channel, there's some brilliant stuff. No, honestly, Kirby. I'm a great admirer of Disney, but the Disney Channel should be closed down for the stuff they put on it now. When it started up, there's some good classical Disney stuff on there. The stuff they got on there now is just a complete joke and a complete. It's just an insult to the name Disney.
Well, Phineas and Ferb isn't bad.
Well, I'm talking about things like Hannah Montana. The sweet life of iCarly and Cody.
Yeah. iCarly's not that bad either, but she's getting too old for the character.
But there's a group of programs that all the same sort of we want the audience to laugh at a certain thing, so we'll play a laughter track. Even though the lines are being said are not funny. Mm-hmm. You know,
here's the laugh.
If you look at the Hannah Montana movie, I'm quite educated.
Back in the early
on this.
Days of the Disney Channel, you actually had repeats at 3 a.m. of old Disney shows with Walt himself showing off the park and stuff.
Yeah, and that's different. That's different. But I mean, I'm quite educated on this subject. I've seen Hannah Montana, and I think her Miley Cyrus is a very talented young woman, very talented. Mm-hmm. But the movie, which has no laughter track on it, does rather show my point as to as a bit of they just concentrate on the story and the characters or whatever and not try and keep laying over this laughter track. They actually can create quite a good product, because the movie Hannah Montana is very, very good. The TV series is absolutely dire. So is Zack and Cody. So is and it's a shame, because the actors they've got in those productions are actually quite good. But,
and all of these are Adam's favourite shows.
No, they're terrible. And at least she used to watch them over and over again. And now we're getting to the stage where Isabella's going to be watching them over and over again. Isabella watches Disney Cinemagic. Goodness. That's a good channel. Disney
you
Cinemagic.
Have my pity, Adam.
Do you get Nickelodeon there?
Yeah, she watches that. She watches Cartoonito, Boomerang, and stuff like that.
Yeah. I know my daughters both watch more of Nickelodeon.
Cartoon Network, the other one. Well, she's actually likes a lot of the stuff I used to watch when I was a kid, because in the evening before Doctor Who, it used to be Grandstand, then it used to be Tom and Jerry, then it used to be Doctor Who, and I still makes me laugh. The Tom and Jerry cartoons, the classic ones, even though I've seen them hundreds of times, I'll be still laughing my head off now watching them. And that's,
I cannot laugh at Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry is not funny.
So the new ones aren't, but the actual like the ones made in the
original. The funny things are from Warner Brothers, not from.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and that group are really funny.
I agree with
but
you.
But Tom and Jerry is the same story over. Well, so are Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. Those are
Roadrunners. Roadrunners are funniest of all those.
Anyway, what does this have to do with Doctor Who?
I'll tell you exactly what it's got to do with Doctor Who. It's the not
having
these skills.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Adam Pearson's take on children's television.
You know, I was just trying to point out that this wasn't very good because it was aimed at younger children. It doesn't work for me because, like I said, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of things that were aimed at younger children which are better than this.
And yet, when my kids were small, they could still watch even Doctor Who with no problem whatsoever.
Yeah. Indeed.
But you do see that a lot of children's television is very fast-paced. I mean, I think Sesame Street got them revved up to that. So that's why I think this is so fast-moving.
Yeah.
They're afraid the kids are going to be bored if it's
got a bit carried away with putting in things that they couldn't put into the TV show because, you know, with the special effects, having robotic birds and stuff like that, you know, it's something that they find very... They could CGI it.
Around in space.
Much more expensive to create out.
After hearing Matthew's review, I agree with him. In 5-minute increments, this would have worked, probably.
Yeah, it did.
We should have had the option on the DVD to watch it like that.
Yeah, I know. I am unlikely to ever watch this again, although I will probably pop the disc in after we're done and watch those extras. And then the DVD is going to go on the shelf and never be touched.
No, I will watch it again one day. I mean, because obviously I'm going to watch everything with Isabella one day, and this will be included in that. And it's not too bad for me. It's not that as bad that I never want to watch it again. I might eventually understand the storyline a bit better. I've watched it about 50 times, to be honest with you.
When you watch it again, you say you won't, but if you want to see the extras, I watched the whole thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they linked all the pieces together, including the confidentials at the end. So if you want to see those, they're on YouTube.
All right, okay. Fine. Has anybody got anything further to say on the Infinite Quest?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm always jealous of cartoons and things because when you listen to the voices, they just sound so good because they have such good equipment, and I'm always jealous and I want that for my podcast.
You'll get there.
What you need is
one day.
There's BBC Sound Effects albums available on iTunes. I'm going to be getting them soon. They're only £2.50. Anyway, right.
Ooh.
Moving on.
Okay.
Just search BBC.
Without further ado, let's talk about
the episode in hand.
Scooby-Doo.
No. Utopia.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, Utopia begins. Be quiet. Utopia
like
begins
Scooby.
With the TARDIS landing in Cardiff.
Cardiff?
Just apparently.
Now, have you noticed that the water column behind there, nowadays it's got this big ad on it with strawberries.
How is it?
Yes.
Thank you for that fact.
How do you know that, Kirby?
I've only got 7 seconds and we're already stopped.
I was just asking, how does Kirby know that?
Because he knows everything.
Because when the Staggering Stories podcast went on their little jaunt a few weeks ago. They took pictures in front.
Oh, okay. Anyway, back to the episode. Yeah, the TARDIS apparently lands in Cardiff on the rift in time-space. Of course, we would have just finished watching Torchwood at this point because the Torchwood and Doctor Who are running sort of overlapping slightly.
Yeah.
Apparently it needs to refuel. Interesting.
Yeah, from the rift
motion.
Energy.
Yeah. Never heard of that one before. But nevertheless,
no.
To fit in... To fit in with the plot, it needed to refuel. So, Jack, of course, at the
maybe
end...
Maybe the TARDIS was damaged in the Time War and it needs to refuel more often.
Maybe, I don't think so. Jack has just been saved by Gwen because he was dead, and Gwen sort of basically tried very hard to bring him back to life and did after, because he was nearly killed by this devilly creature, looks a little bit like the Satan pit monster.
First series,
don't know where they got that idea from, but anyway, so he puts the Doctor's hand vase thingamajig in his rucksack, and surprised the way he was running it didn't get shook up a little bit, but anyway, but
see he was wearing a rucksack, honestly.
He's wearing a rucksack.
The Doctor sees him running at the TARDIS and pulls the handle down to dematerialise because he thinks, oh no, I don't want Jack Klingon to the TARDIS. Yes, but
I did watch it at the last hour,
and
though,
for
mind
some
you.
For reason, just because he grabs hold of the TARDIS, there's a big explosion on the console. And everything goes a bit haywire.
Yeah. Oh, no, later. It was explained.
Well, because
yeah.
It says that the TARDIS is trying to shake Jack off.
Oh, yeah. TARDIS is running away from Jack.
Yeah.
When he was in that room putting in the things at the end.
Is that because he's a fixed point in...
Yes.
Okay. So how did it feel then Jack
he's
was inside?
He's an anomaly, though. He's not supposed to.
Anomaly. Robert, thank you so much.
I just watched the Muppets yesterday.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Robert, thank you for...
You know, and with Jack hanging onto the TARDIS, I fully expected the credits to start then, but...
I know, I was about to say that.
Anyway, excuse me. Robert, thank you for allowing me an excuse to play Mna in the background on this podcast. There's a good shot though before we see the strange toothed creatures on Utopia of Captain Jack hanging hold of the TARDIS.
Yes, and
Doctor. Yeah.
Now, do you know why?
Yeah, why? That's a letter after X, isn't it?
No. Do you know what's going on? Why do we see the future kind at that point in the? Before the credits roll.
No.
Because RTD explained it in the commentary.
Oh, yes.
You see Jack hanging onto the TARDIS, and if they had not put the little scene of the future kind in there, we would have ended up going straight into the credits.
The titles.
And we've seen the TARDIS without Jack on it.
So basically,
I thought
they
were going to do the credits with him on there.
Should have done.
Basically, he thinks that Doctor Who fans are a bit stupid.
I love seeing him fly off the TARDIS, go through one of the letters in the names, and then grab back on again.
Oh, that would have been excellent in 3D.
Only the listeners would have heard what I said just a moment ago, so I'll leave that one for the listeners. You might hear it yourself when you listen to the podcast back. So I'm not going to podcast.
Adam,
I'm not going to repeat myself. Yes?
Do you have sound effects of those teethy people?
No,
because
I don't.
Every time they appear, they go...
Oh, yes. We talked about that last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
Now, this episode I hadn't noticed before is directed by Graham Harper. Yes.
What a
wonderful director.
Director of Caves of Androzani. Yay!
When I first watched this episode, I didn't like this aspect, this sort of strange animal-y creature human thingamajig.
Future kind.
I didn't like it, but there you go. And I still don't like it much now.
I don't either.
They didn't lend much to the storyline in the end.
No, they really don't belong there.
It strikes me as what Vincent and the Doctor had. You could have almost had that story without having to have the monster chasing the Doctor. Yeah. And in this, they just struck me as you have to have a villain in there.
But the villain was there all along. That's the thing
the master,
I liked about it. Yeah. I think also, I think they were only there so as they could have somebody trying to get to the Doctor, Martha and Jack. So
through a quarry.
While they were trying to get into the room where the TARDIS was. But they didn't need that because the whole storyline without them in it was pretty good. You know, I quite liked it.
Well, but then they need that person already in the, not the ship, but wherever they're fenced in. They need that person there just to try to, you know, muck up the wiring and set everything all, you know, apart later.
True. Forgot about that.
But anyway, we meet Chan To-To. At this point, and of course Professor Yana, of course called Professor, and we didn't notice this at the time because the Professor is another sort of doctory type name.
Now, have you noticed his costume?
Yes, I have noticed. He's wearing one. I did notice that, yes.
Well, he's wearing basically a First Doctor outfit.
Is he? Is it? Yes, it's more like an Eighth Doctor outfit.
No, it's deliberately
without the
coat on First Doctor.
Really?
It's to honor William Hartnell,
Yep.
Mm. Puff your arms,
So what do we think of the costume of Chan To?
Oh, I love it. I love
it. Great.
Yeah.
And I love how those little things on the sides of her face move as she...
Yes.
Her hands look
a lot better than the human Dalek.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, much better.
Yes.
But anyway, right. So occasionally, Yana, who's a very nice man at this point, has a little bit of something in his head. He can hear something. We don't know at this point, but it's a sort of drumming sound, isn't it? But it's not the same sort of drumming sound we hear later on. It's more of a sort of jumbled drumming sound. But then it would be because he's
human.
Yeah, he's not quite. But when he's full master himself, it's more a clearer drumming sound. It's more of a sort of echoey, jumbled up drumming sound, which is fairly consistent with
Adam.
Yes.
When you saw this the first time, did you know that? Did you come in cold? Yeah. Did you know that it was the master?
No, I didn't know that Yana was the master until the watch turned up.
I didn't even know then.
I was right on board with Martha. I did think it was a master at that point because
is this too soon to stick in that his name is an acronym?
You can say it whenever you like. Name is
an acronym for you are not alone.
Yes, but that was revealed later in the story. As far as the fact that when she sees the watch, you think, oh, that's another Time Lord. But it wasn't at that point that it dawned on me it was a master. It was when the Doctor said, but which Time Lord? But anyway, moving back to where we are in the story.
Yeah, back to where we were.
They sort of step out the TARDIS and Jack's sort of lying dead on the floor and the Doctor's sort of just very sort of, oh, well.
He seems a bit callous, if you ask me.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But he knows what's going to happen. But he still
looking at it from Jack's point of view.
No. The Doctor does not know that that's going to happen with Jack.
Really?
The last time he saw Jack, he left him behind with the Daleks.
He said he knew because he knew what Rose had done. He could see into the time vortex. He took the time vortex out of Rose, so he knew what Rose had done, and she had no way of controlling what she'd done.
This was the proof of it, to actually see it.
Yeah.
He doesn't act at all surprised when he knows.
Why he wanted to run away from him.
Didn't almost punch the Doctor because he's quite rude to him in this episode.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Only at first. They get better.
Yeah, when he asks about Rose, that's when they sort of hit it off, don't they? Because Jack shows sort of worry about Rose, and then they seem to bond after that moment, don't they?
RTD and Tennant during the commentary say that Barrowman was doing this really great job at showing how loyal Jack is to the Doctor. Like there's little subtle thing. There was a point where the Doctor was just supposed to take his coat off and drop it on the floor or across a chair at one point, and instead Jack comes over and takes it, kind of like a Batman.
Yeah. But there's a bit where when they hug and Batman. Martha says, "Good old Rose."
I've been watching that.
Adam, hold on.
Nobody was listening. I give up.
Adam. This is important. Ian Kirk has just said he's emailed audio feedback for the Infinite Quest.
Said that like 15 minutes ago.
Hold on. Yeah. 36 minutes ago, actually. Why didn't you tell Adam? He says
we were talking to people.
He
was in a bus shelter in a lightning and hailstorm and the bus was an hour late.
Well, can I just own up to something, right? If I play Ian Kirk's feedback live now to you lot, I will wake the wife up. And if I wake the wife up, that will be an end to this podcast.
Yes.
We'll hear it when we play the episode back.
That was stupid. What did you do that for?
Wait.
Not funny. Alicia just burst in just as I was saying that. I think thinks it's hilarious. very funny.
Does she like to see you get into trouble?
Very often.
What?
I'm hungry.
Can you turn the light on while you're there, actually? Because I don't want to get up. I don't want to get cramped. What was I talking about?
I think I'll go buy some pizza.
Right. So, as far as Ian Kirk's feedback is concerned, listeners, this will be played later on in the show. And thank you, Ian, for your efforts.
We'll hear it when we play the episode back.
Indeed. Thank you, Ian,
yes,
in advance for sending it in.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Alicia, are you going to being here, or because you feel like
Adam,
you stick your headphones in the WhatsApp.
Ask Alicia what she thought of Infinite Quest and.
If you want to join in the podcast,
and you type here.
You don't. Olympics. Well, I'm watching the Olympics. Actually, what's that?
Don't call
her
yet. I'll text
you. Shut up, right. Sorry, Robert, what are you saying?
Saying, ask her about Utopia.
No, you can ask yourself eventually. She didn't watch it. She has watched it, but she didn't watch it on this occasion. She was just saying, what? Because I just paused the image on the thing, and it's got David Tennant doing a, saying a word, and she said, why is he showing his teeth? But he generally shows his teeth a lot when he speaks.
He does. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You don't have to apologise, Robert.
That's shit, isn't it?
But anyway, so they sort of arrive at some place, and it was quite very extensive the graphic they used to sort of use for the settlement, I suppose, that they're at.
Oh, by the way, we have two different quarries in use here.
Do we?
I could get you the actual names, but the second quarry that they use, where the gate is, that tower on the side to the side of the gate, is. Mm. The same thing they built to show the outside of the top of the Empire State Building. That is the top of the Empire State Building.
Okay, thank you for that.
Why not?
Anyway, where do we get up to? So, yeah, so they sort of get caught up with some of these future kind people and a few humans as well. And the only way they're going to get let into this compound is by showing them their teeth. Tennant is quite happy to do this, obviously, because he's, like, as we said earlier on, he's quite keen to show his teeth.
Well, which makes me wonder how that one human creature
kind
was already in there. Inside, yeah, of humankind. Yeah, yeah. How did they get away with it?
A very good point.
Just didn't show their teeth.
Yeah, maybe they sort of pretended they. anyway, so. So you wonder
stop
what that
is.
Yes, exactly. I was just
Kirby,
talking the words right
it.
Out
Sorry.
Of my mouth.
Sorry.
So anyway, they get in and
would you two quit flapping your ears?
It comes over the intercom that a doctor has turned up, and Professor Yana gets very excited because he realizes very soon it's a scientist, not a medical doctor. And then we see that kid who won the competition on Tokyo Doctor Who.
But
he looks like a girl.
Yana says, ask doctor of medicine, and over the intercom says, he says of everything.
Yeah.
Doctor
That's
of everything.
Right. Yeah.
Shave cane.
Anyway, so you see, the winner of the competition from Totally Doctor Who then appears, which actually I remember when I watched Totally Doctor Who, it was quite interesting to see the audition process and when they...
Looks like a girl, though.
The kid actually... you know, turning up on set and all the behind the scenes stuff in relation to his appearance. He does look a bit like a girl, but that's.
Oh, a lot of the men have long hair.
You know,
I think he does a great job.
Yeah,
he does.
No, he's okay, yeah.
He still looks like a girl, though.
I bet he doesn't now. I bet he looks a proper teenager now, because he's probably quite considerably
old. Well, it's 5 years, though. Yeah. Well, probably 6 years, isn't it?
And then Jack does a few bits of flirting, which is quite amusing, especially when automatically assumes
not that.
And I like the doctor's comments about how humans, you know, have existed in time as clouds of gas and as downloads. But then they revert back to their form.
I just thought, wow, what a mind comes up with that, the fact that we were downloads once.
I don't think we're going to see too many Doctor Who adventures with humans as downloads.
No.
Maybe one day. I'm sure
River in Silence in the Library. She was a download.
Ooh, very good. Very good.
Yes, well done, Rhys. Anyway, this is quite interesting that Jack would assume that this chap with the blue waistcoat would actually be interested in him, but nevertheless, he's that arrogant. But I do like, actually, it does work really well, the doctor keeping on sort of chastising Jack for being friendly to people.
He did.
He did well, because it sort of carries on from what Eccleston was on about too.
Yeah.
He used to do the same thing. So.
Yeah. But it's funny, because it's usually the doctor that's the smarmy one when comes to meeting people. They open up this door into nowhere, basically. And when the camera pans away from it, for me, it reminded me of one of those old PlayStation games when that sort of rendering.
Not Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, it doesn't look real. It doesn't look real, unfortunately.
No. Mm. It only looks real in the close-up.
I'm willing to forgive it.
Yeah. And yeah, of course we see the side of this rocket thing that is, that they're trying to create to get to where they want to get. Then of course
now, I remember seeing the original. I don't have it around somewhere, but I remember seeing the Confidential originally for this one, and they showed them filming where they open that door and almost fall out, and one of them actually almost did. and it's not in the cut down Confidential, which is on
the
disc.
No,
they should have kept it in. But shortly after this scene, we see the rogue future kind. Yeah, because the doctor's been united with Yana and Chantor. This relationship that immediately gets struck up between Chantor and Martha reminds me of that when Rose sort of struck up a friendship with good grief,
Sarah Jane,
the little plumber in
Gwyneth, isn't it? Gwyneth and
she struck up a lot of friendships.
Yeah, but that one reminded me of that one. She sort of, because if you remember, Gwyneth was sort of she was quite shy and thought that talking about boys was a bit risque.
Been ages since I've seen that.
But that's what her just saying Chantho, or saying something without saying Chan and Tho at the end of it.
Yeah, it's like swearing.
Yeah, so it reminded me a little bit of that scene.
According to RTD, that was the whole point of the whole Chantho speech thing anyway, was he wanted to come up with a way of having the character swear, so he came up with the Chantho, and then he then went back and rewrote all of her dialogue with the Chan and the Tho.
Yeah, actually,
it must have been
like
hard
that
to remember.
I do like that aspect of it. Honestly,
she's the most amazing character. She's so well realized, and she's so well acted.
Oh, absolutely!
Everything about her is so wonderful.
I agree.
And it was nice that she gets to come back without the makeup as well, wasn't it?
Yes, we'll come to that at a later stage. But anyway, so Martha goes into Jack's rucksack and finds the hand.
Hello!
Jack called it a doctor detector or something like that.
I like the way that when he sticks out his hand for Martha to have a look at.
I like that.
I loved when Derek Jacob came to find the doctor. His excitement there was just excellent. And I think David Tennant didn't have to act too much because he's acting off Derek Jacob. He's probably just going, wow.
Yeah, Tennant makes a note two places, both in the Confidential and also in the commentary, that when he was young in acting school, he went and went to the stage door. To get Derek Jacobi's autograph.
Cool.
Also, I love the fact when Jan is dragging him along saying, this is good, the doctor just turns around and says, this is good, apparently.
The hand prop in this episode is not the same hand prop as we've been seeing all series for Torchwood. They recast it about 2 days before they filmed this because it was slightly bigger.
Audition?
No. All the water.
It was slightly bigger than
Tennant's own hand.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, my wife was just texting me, and I was trying to read that.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, I do like this whole sort of this scene where, you know, obviously the master's gone about the hand, and then we see the flashback. The flashback to when he had the hand chopped off and stuff. And of course, Yana's sort of expression of what and everything like that. But yeah, that scene is really, really good. I really enjoy that scene. It's quite a long scene, actually.
I love how Martha's still hooked on the fact he grew his hand back, whereas everyone else is talking and he just goes, hello, hello again.
Wasn't there a remark to can you grow anything else back? Oh, that was Donna, wasn't it?
That's true. Yeah.
Later on. But. So basically, the doctor.
Would have got that cut off.
Have you got two of? What have you got two of? Whatever.
We'd all be right.
The doctor and Yana immediately hit it off, but then he has another little sort of seizure when he has a sort of flashback to something or other he doesn't quite remember.
He has a banging headache. Yeah.
But the doctor doesn't understand what's going on with him either, but. So he's very, very friendly. They got on really well. So it's a shame, really, because you can see what the relationship he could have had with the Master if the Master wasn't a baddie.
Yeah, and well, also, he's always gotten along with the Master, except when the Master was trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, you can see why he's, you know, enhances his wanting to protect the Master, even though, you know, he wants to save him. I know, not just because he's the only other Time Lord, it's because he sees brilliance in him. You know, he admires his brilliance.
You know, the Planet of Fire, when they cut that bit that, you know, you're my brother or something.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Can't kill me,
Mary, have you seen any classic episodes with the Master?
Yes. The Ronnie.
Yeah.
Survival.
Mark of the Ronnie.
Mark of the Ronnie,
Well, go and see something better than that.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, but
any suggestions?
Jumping forward slightly, there is you can hear Ainley and Delgado's voices just before he regenerates, which is a lovely little homage to the old masters.
I like that.
And I do want to say, this is my thing, and it's a little bit of Reese's thing. The music during the section when the Doctor is fixing, you know, the professor's wiring and making the rocket start up and getting all the people excited. That music is so wonderful.
Yes, I agree.
And they repeated. They had that music in the proms, which was one of my favorite sections.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
When the Doctor first meets Yana, they play "This Is Gallifrey, Our Childhood, Our Home," which is a very beautiful piece, and it's very prominent in the next two episodes.
It's a favorite of people's.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Obviously we jump forward a little bit there because it's so exciting. Basically, this whole story does sort of build up to the bit at the end, is so memorable. But there are some good bits in between. And obviously, there's quite a lot of interaction between just the Doctor and Yana, which is lovely. And then, of course,
this whole scene with the hand and fixing everything was all. That's the longest section. It's really written as one scene. RTD was saying that it was one of the hardest things to write because he's never really written something that long as one scene. Also, the set there is interesting because it's not a three-sided set. It actually has four sides, several of which can fly out to get the camera in. It's actually very small.
Anyway, so the TARDIS, which the Doctor has asked to be brought, in, has been brought in, or found, then it gets brought in, sorry. So they bring that back in for him. This episode reminds me how much I like Jack as a companion on the show. I much prefer him on Doctor Who than on Torchwood.
Yeah.
I just love the way he interacts with the Doctor and the Doctor's companions and the baddies and stuff, and I just, I've always yearned, and it's not going to happen for him to be a full-time companion on the show.
I agree.
But I don't know if that can happen now because of his, the amount of tortured episodes that have been out there, whether they could actually just bring Jack in as a full-time companion for one series.
But doesn't he like, he likes doing Doctor Who, I'm sure
he's begging to be in the 50th.
He'd jump at the chance, but I don't think I'd actually bring it in. They bring him in. It's a shame, because it's pretty much potential.
A lot of people diss John Barrowman, but I think he did a fantastic job with just portraying the loyalty of Jack, you mentioned before.
Jack is a Doctor Who character, because he's not the main character in the series. It works brilliantly, but in Torchwood he is the main character. He is the Doctor of Torchwood, isn't he, basically? And he's just... Well,
in Torchwood, he carries this darkness that I don't care for very much, whereas in Doctor Who, he's always, admiring and
light
uplifting and fun. He's into the
He's got the energy.
He's not constantly shooting people, is he? But anyway, so basically, there's something going on... to do with some radiation, isn't there? Because they send some bloke into this room.
Stepped radiation.
And there's a great effect when he disintegrates within his suit.
That's great.
We're all laughing about that.
It was good, though.
Really good.
And of course, it's after that we see the scene with, where Martha and Chanto, well, Chanto does her swearing and stuff.
Swearing, yeah.
Yes. Very risque. You had to bleep it out. Chan beep toe.
It wouldn't be, wouldn't be allowed to play an audio that, would you?
But the very brave, the man that went in to do the testing before he got sort of disintegrated, knew he was going to die, but he still went in there anyway, which was nice. Not nice, just brave. And it's at this point that you start realising, hang on, Jack's going to go in there. And this is before the doctor suggests
Back to the scene before this, though, where the doctor is talking and they're doing sort of the rewiring and stuff. There's still a lot of stuff where the doctor's mentioning some of his background, and they are talking to each other about what they're called, the professor and the doctor.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the scene where the professor's saying that he was found. No, that's later. I'll get to that later.
Okay. But there's another scene after the...
Are you all right, Kirby?
Sorry, I thought Father Christmas had just arrived in the podcast room.
Kirby, did you get a cramp?
It's got prep.
They cut a scene where when they found the TARDIS and were bringing it in, the original plan was to have it lowered into the Professor Yana's laboratory by crane. They ran out of time. They had the crane all set up and everything. They ran out of time in the evening, and someone said, why don't we just show it on a monitor? And they showed on the monitor, and the next day they just moved it in, and it's just there in the laboratory.
Yeah, making you wonder how it got there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back to back to this episode.
Logistics.
Isn't it amazing how the TARDIS has power couplings that fit exactly Professor Yana's
Kirby, really? I can explain that.
Yeah, because from the Master's TARDIS.
He just looked for the appropriate coupling. No, I'm just saying the Doctor looked for the appropriate coupling.
Okay.
If you say so
that's why he came out with it. He knew which one he needed, so he got that one from the TARDIS that he knew that he needed.
This Master has not had a TARDIS for a very long time. RTD says that the story that he said explains where he was found as a baby with the pocket watch.
Mm-hmm.
He was found as a baby with the pocket watch. The chameleon circuit turned him into a baby.
Okay. Back to the episode.
The band.
Be quiet. So back to the episode. After the chap gets disintegrated, Jack sort of tries to save the situation by electrocuting himself.
That was just so random, though.
Scratching
at him. Quickly, I'll just do it.
What was good about that scene was Martha sort of giving him sort of mouth to mouth, and then when he comes back to life, the doctor's standing there, sort of, here we go again. And then he says, "Did someone kiss me?" So this is a point where Jack and the doctor have
you notice Jack at this point is still omnisexual.
Yes, but he's mainly gay now. Isn't he? He's just sexual. That's the point. Yeah, he is just sexual, isn't he? And more so in torture, which he would be because it's an adult program. But he's getting himself ready, and he's sort of taking all his clothes off. And the doctor says, "Well, you don't have to. You can go in there with clothes. It won't make a difference.
Not clothes.
But at least I'll look good."
But I look good. Yeah.
But they have the little conversation about Rose and stuff. And,
so there's a lot more humour in really Jack nice. in Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yeah, they just work well together, the character of the Doctor and the character of Jack. It doesn't make any difference whether Eccleston or Tennant's playing the Doctor. It just works. And I'd love to see Matt Smith playing against Jack as well, just to see how that balances out.
Yeah.
Except Matt would look so much younger.
Yes. Anyway.
Now, it's right in this period, right in this area where I was watching, I saw an unusual keyboard with unusual characters on it, so
yep.
I spent a few minutes to figure out what the characters were.
Mm.
They're hiragana.
As you would. Yeah.
Which is one of the Japanese sets of characters.
I think I've got a funny thing. Alicia said she
Kirby, you blew me away with that.
Alicia said she was going to text me when she wanted to come on the show, but I think my phone is in the kitchen switched on to silent. Again, only the listeners would have heard what I'm saying at the moment.
And Kirby, where did you say that?
I heard.
Keyboard shows up. Kirby, where does that keyboard show up?
29.
It's on the Facebook page.
And,
29? Wow. Yeah.
Martha's
29:56.
Anyway, back to the episode. Right, where do I get up to?
That was interesting to try and track down those characters.
I'm sure it was.
You did very well there, Kirby.
Yeah.
During the next segment, Martha's talking about the Doctor and TARDISes, and it's
the
starting...
Father Christmas
is back here again now.
Jack and the Doctor talking to each other through that door while Jack... Jack is talking about his regeneration.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm trying to remember, he mentions that the first time he noticed that he got in a fight on Ellis Island.
In Ellis Island, yeah.
The heart. I'm trying to remember, since I've only seen the more recent Torchwood once. Was that the very same?
Is he buried? Was that the one where he's buried?
No.
He was shot and then buried?
No.
No.
Because the earliest scenes we see of him in Torchwood, he was on a train. Sorry to interrupt you, but he was on a train. That was the earliest sort of footage of him from the past.
I only borrowed the episodes from the video library to watch. So
in his timeline.
There is an Ellis Island scene in one of the more recent, the last series.
That would have been...
Yeah, wasn't that the immigration? Was that the immigration?
Different part of his timeline.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Kirby, those keys show up so quickly. How did you notice them?
Why did you care?
It's like less than a flash on the screen. They're on and they're off. Wow.
I know.
Jeez.
And they even cared about it, too.
I know.
I just thought, it's an alien ship. It's in the future.
Anyway.
I can barely freeze it enough to catch it.
I can barely sort of grant myself the will to carry on at the moment.
I had to freeze that, and then I had to go out to Wikipedia and bring up various alphabet characters.
Carry on.
Moving on from the 20 megabyte keyboard podcast back to Doctor Who. right then. So where do we get up to? So Yana's listening into what the Doctor and Martha are talking about, and Time Lords and TARDISes and such, and it's starting to sort of jog his mind. You can see his little brain cells moving, can't you? Because of the acting of Derek Jacobi, or Sir Derek Jacobi, to give me the correct title. So of course another flashback of Rose and the time vortex, just as the Doctor's explaining to Jack why he's the way he is. And doesn't a tear start rolling down Yana's face?
No,
at this
that's
point?
Not a tear, that's sweat.
Is it? Looks like a tear.
It's a tear, you're right.
His eyes look very
nice. I just saw it.
Yeah.
Never mind, they're going to be.
Yeah, and then Martha sees a watch, doesn't she?
So good.
Yeah, at the time, that was the hard-hitting part of it for me when I was watching, because I didn't expect it. And as soon as that watch was there, you knew. Because obviously you knew there was a You Are Not Alone thing throughout the series, but you didn't know what it meant, whether it meant there was another Time Lord. You didn't know it was the Master.
Well, you didn't know it was You Are Not Alone, Yana, though.
No, you did, because it was You Are Not Alone is what the face of Bo said.
But I'm saying until I saw it on
you
the
didn't
screen,
tie it
and
into
it.
No, very good, yes, right. Very good. But of course, Martha sort of could have just told him to open the watch up there and then, couldn't she? And she nearly did.
Yes.
And then she decides.
Have you ever tried to open it?
Better go and tell the Doctor. And of course, this whole segment of events is just the most gripping part of this episode. And it sort of detracts from the actual jeopardy that they are actually in. You just want to see this whole scene pan out, you know, to see him open the watch, see who he becomes, and but the face when he does open the watch up, His expression changes. He completely becomes a different character just the look in his eyes.
He becomes so cold.
Yeah. And and also, when he's the master, obviously, once he's opened, he is the master. The way he speaks to Chanto is completely masterish.
He just sounds annoyed the whole time.
Yeah, it's suave but evil at the same time, just as the master should be. So it's just such a shame that we only got about 7 minutes.
I want to see more of him.
Even he said he'd love to come back and be the master again.
That ain't going to happen.
Degenerate.
Why not?
Yeah, he's already regenerated away.
The original plan was that he would not say that he's the master until he demanded that the doctor say his name.
Yeah.
I think that would have worked better.
RTD says that, yes, in the rules of writing, that's the way it should have been. But I tell you that when I was watching this with my kids, I had no idea until he said, "I am the master," that he was. And when he said that, I just let out this
really scream.
And the girls looked at me like, "What?" Yeah,
not being funny though, Kirby. That's what happened to me at the end of the second episode of the last series of Doctor Who, when the little girl regenerated.
Oh yeah,
and he went, "Oh God!" Well, pretty much my reaction too. I just went, "Wow!"
Which is surprising that particular story isn't looked on particularly highly now. But at the time, that part of that episode was amazing for me. Very memorable.
It's a brilliant part, yeah. Mm.
But anyway, so basically, the master's doing all his evil stuff. He sort of gets his sort of the thing that electrocuted Jack and threatens Chanto with it, who's waving a gun at him. And so loyal, she can't pull the trigger.
And they managed to get the never mind.
That's right. Yeah, it's just the Scooby.
Never mind.
Yeah. So
why never mind?
Oh. These scenes.
Like Scooby.
These scenes where the future kind are chasing the Doctor and Jack down the corridor.
Yep.
There was an accident while the future kind were running down the corridor. One of the lead guy got stabbed by one of the swords and had to be taken to hospital.
That's awful.
And David Tennant says he saw the guy a couple weeks before they did the commentary, and he was fine, kind of laughing about it, but he still had the scar on his face.
Ooh.
Nice.
Poor guy.
But anyway, so he says, "I am the master," and then he sort of stabs at her with this electrical thing and they scream, while the doctor and that are trying to get to him, basically, because they know they need to get there. Yeah, pretty masterish. Then he grabs the doctor's hand and takes it into the TARDIS and starts fiddling with some technology. And he sort of like takes the chip.
Yeah, that came in handy, didn't it?
Utopia, and shakes his head. And meanwhile, then gets shot by Chanto. Just so as John
I've been
Sen-
shot by an insect.
Yes, that was a good line.
Yeah.
Girl.
Just so as John Sim can have a few lines at the end. Anyway, right, so eventually they break in after it's just too late, and the master creeps into the TARDIS. The doctor can't use his key to get in because he's sort of flicked the catch up on the inside, and then he can't use his sonic screwdriver to get in because it's a sonic screwdriver and it's not that much of a magic wand after all.
I'm surprised the TARDIS allowed this to happen.
At the end of the day, still machine, but this whole segment is just fantastic to watch. I love it. And also the other side of this, obviously you know what happens. He says if the doctor can be young, so can I, and whatever, and the whole regeneration scene is brilliant. And the helplessness of the doctor and stuff, and of course this is how this episode ended, wasn't it? They were stranded, they were in proper jeopardy, and it ended. And this is why a lot of people think this is a three-part story, because it didn't really have a proper conclusion. Oh, it is.
When I look at these three, I do consider Utopia to be its own standalone.
Yeah.
But even as part of the three. I mean, if you're going to watch the other two, you always watch the other two almost always together.
Mm.
Right.
But whereas this one, we can do what we just did, and we watched it for itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is also where they established once and for all that they're going to use this particular regeneration special effect as
standard,
the now standard.
Yeah, Time Lord regeneration.
Just so that you knew he was a Time Lord and that he was regenerating. Yeah.
I think it should be.
Yeah, one other thing about the regeneration, though, when the camera's looking down and he does the facial change, his eyes remind me of like a fruit machine thing going round.
Yes, I thought the same thing, yes.
It just looks like they're going round and round and round in their sockets.
Yeah, it did look like that.
And of course, when John Sim sort of let out a yell as he regenerated, they sort of said that that was like a sign of madness, but the doctor let out a yell when he regenerated from 10 to 11.
Well, he's kind of mad. He's a madman with a box.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, but what's different about this is that when after he's regenerated, he collapses onto the floor unconscious, which is a sort of different thing that the doctor's never done in recent times. Obviously, in the classic series, he just laid on the floor and he regenerated and he was unconscious for a bit, then sat up.
Well, he'd be staring up at Perry's.
Yeah.
So that
was quite interesting.
when David Tennant became the new doctor, he staggered out and fell down, and he was he was out cold for a lot of the Christmas invasion.
Yeah, but he didn't immediately collapse in the middle of the regeneration. But this is a great first scene by John Sims' master, isn't it?
Barcelona.
Yeah. Did he say that? I don't remember saying that. What are you on about?
No,
he
did not.
That was
one thing you will notice in the previews for next week is you won't see
no
the doctor.
There's no doctor. Yes,
actually, he is there, but you have to really look closely. He's blurred in the background of the scene with the president.
Okay,
who's there?
But Martha says in this scene, doctor. I recognize that voice. I recognize that voice, didn't she? After he regenerated.
I like the way he said, "Oh, new voice, hello."
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And you know, when I was watching this, I was thinking, how the hell are they going to get there? But then, obviously, Jack went on about the time, the wristwatch.
Yeah, he did
watch
it.
This time around, I thought that... that was a good bit of setup for the fact that they had it and they mentioned it. Yes. It's kind of like loading the gun to be used in the last act.
Yep.
Yeah, sort of indeed. Yeah,
I thought, it was done well, very well. Yeah.
And that sort of rather sums it up. I thoroughly enjoyed watching this one again.
This was a good one.
And I will say, the only thing that taints it a bit for me is the character of the future kind. Take all that stuff out.
Yes.
I'll probably fast forward those bits. I don't really make much of the storyline. And just the character acting, the character interaction. And this, by the way, this is written by Russell T. Davis. Mm-hmm. Just goes to show that he's not crap. Sorry, listeners, those Russell T. Davis haters. There's lots of people think Russell T. Davis is an appalling writer. There are lots of, and to be fair, to balance things out, there's lots of people now that think that Stephen Moffat, who is the hallowed one with the Empty Child and Doctor Dancers and Blink and stuff like that, is a crap writer. For me, they're both brilliant writers, completely different styles.
Well, Russell T. Davis seems to write a lot of good action, whereas Moffat likes to write,
the same story over and over again.
To give him Moffat his due, he may borrow ideas, but he does a bloody good thing with the ideas he borrows. He does some good stuff. Yes.
Also, something with RTD. What I did notice was that with the season series finales, is that they tended to repeat themselves after a while. It was always like a reset button.
Yeah,
and that's. So, I mean, even he Moffat's done
that
stuff.
Yeah, I know. That is a point. But I mean, he's not perfect. Moffat's not perfect.
No.
They can create some fantastic stuff. And Midnight, is an RTD story. Utter brilliance, considering it's just one studio, basically.
That's creepy as well, yeah.
Absolute brilliance.
That's how you do a budget episode.
Yeah.
Featured Merlin.
This was just wonderful. This episode. I'd just say it would have been one of the best for me if it weren't for the future kind that I just don't like.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they had to come up with somebody who was going to try to muck things up and keep them there.
Yeah, but couldn't they come up with something a bit better than that, though?
I think they could have come up with a better idea that the TARDIS, because Jax fiddled around with it, you know, it sort of just malfunctioned and just crash lands. They could have found a way of just losing the TARDIS down a blooming quarry or something like that.
Can I mention something? We know how you go on about with Moffat and doing Sherlock as well, and that sort of takes off his focus of Doctor Who.
Used to take up his focus, yes.
Yes, well, RTD was doing Torchwood at the same time as Doctor Who, and that was a bit like the same idea, really.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
he was.
So.
I guess it's the same universe, though, in a way.
Working in the same environment, I would imagine, same studios, characters and stuff. Yep.
But when you're as we're saying, yeah, he wrote this story, and he had a lot to do with the Torchwood writing for that, and etc. Producing. So that's obviously going to take his energy, thinking up an ingenious way of delaying the Doctor or whatever, coming up with the future kind. So that. May have been a similar sort of situation.
Maybe so.
I don't mind the future kind, actually. They were just a monster of the week, but they're all right.
Yeah,
they're forgettable, but they're all right.
I didn't like them.
Yeah, I didn't like them. They didn't sort of, you know, I just enjoyed the bits with the Doctor and Jack and Yana and Chando and all those characters, really. That's what was keeping me glued to the screen.
Yeah, I'm sure this is one of the situations where the BBC said, we need an outside threat, we need something to scare the kids, and
no,
I'm sure...
I understand, probably could have thought of something better. But anyway, so on the whole, I think we all like this one.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Cool.
And it's excitement factor, I guess. You know, it's, yeah, you're looking
forward to... And it would have
taken
away...
What's going to happen?
I said it would have robbed Captain Jack of his moment of deflating the Doctor as he was going on and on about how, you know, there's no more humans and yeah, we're beyond all that. And then when Captain Jack says, well, looks like he's doing all right.
Yes.
Indeed it does.
Right. I was just thinking, you know how with the trailer for next week, you know when I first saw those ball things, those small balls that fly around? No, that contain the humans, you know, when I first saw them, I thought they were Sontarans.
Well, a lot of people had their theories, didn't they? Anyway, we'll talk about that next week, obviously, because we're coming to the end of this series, and obviously we've got a two-parter. We could have done a three-parter already, but got a two-parter to talk of next time.
To talk about Infinite Quest, though. That was our original thing.
Right, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. And I only saw the thing to watch Utopia today, so...
Yeah. But then that'll be it until the new series starts, so... Anyway, I'm going to talk about a little bit of news.
Hey, what do you mean that'll be it until the new series starts?
That'll be it on as far as New Who goes until the new series starts, and we'll talk about the new series, and then when the new series is finished, we'll pick it up.
New series has been going on for 7 years.
Oh, be quiet, for God's sake. I mean, series 7A.
Isn't that going to leave us with one or two weeks of nothing to review?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, don't be absurd. We've got the two episodes, and then we've got the Christmas special, and then we've got the new series. And even if we haven't got anything as far as New Who to talk about, I have plans. We can have a special bonus look at a classic episode.
Ah, excellent.
And one that,
like that.
One that Mary and Kirby have not got. I'm only joking.
The War Games. The War Games. A 10 episode.
Oh, no, no.
Actually, we've done the War Games.
Oh, no. Huh? Be something that everybody can lay their hands on.
Did you do the War Games?
No. I haven't done the War Games.
I know I discussed it at one point. I watched it. And discussed it on the podcast.
Might have been because you watched it. That's probably the only reason.
Okay.
I haven't watched it since 2000 and... When was Isabella born? 2006. So I haven't watched it since 2007. Meanwhile, news.
Back at TARDIS.
Great news, great news. A Big Finish have had their license to make Doctor Who Audio Adventures extended to 2015.
Excellent.
Oh, good.
And I bought a Big Finish story the other day. from whoone.co.uk.
whoone.co.uk?
Yes, it was called Destination Nerva, and I haven't listened to it yet, but when I have listened to it, I will be talking about it on
this
show.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. I didn't need a review. I haven't watched, listened to it yet.
Go on, Robert. Review it. Review it. Give it all away.
It actually features the space station, which was in Ark in Space.
Yes, it does. Yes, that's all we need to know about. Thank you very much. That'll do.
Go on, Robert. Tell us more.
DVD update.
Ooh, there's something exciting.
Be quiet.
Yes.
Terror of the Zygons.
Excellent.
Has been passed for release on DVD.
And don't you already have it? No, you don't.
No, I have it recorded off the telly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Off BBC Two, in fact. So I've got it's a four-parter on my DVD, so it's quite good. Meanwhile, I'll go back to what I was talking about.
An Easter egg on it.
Anyway. the UNIT family, Heartfray, Merry-Go-Round. These are the extras, by the way.
Your fishes.
And Terror of the Zygons photo thing, and some stuff on it. So that's great.
Scotch Mist in Sussex, remembering Terror of the Zygons.
You should be telling us these with a different voice.
No. Yes. My voice will not go quieter. It will go louder in a minute. Anyway.
All right. Can I just mention, you forgot at the end of that.
You always know, when you start a sentence with, can I mention, you're going to do it anyway. So, please do.
I think it means, can I mention without you interrupting me?
No, this is exciting.
Is it?
It's going to be a legacy box set, which is going to feature Shada, More Than 30 Years in the TARDIS.
Yes.
There's The Reign of Terror with the animated episodes 4 and 5. There's going to be an Inferno special edition.
Excellent. That sounds
and The
good.
Mind of Evil with colorized episode 1 and color restored episodes 2 to 6. Plus the recently returned episodes of Galaxy 4 Airlock and Underwater Menace episode 2. And it says they don't know about the remaining episodes of The 10th Planet and the Ice Warriors yet.
That sounds really good, Robert.
I thought Shadow was never produced.
It was produced on
they
VHS.
Have a lot of it.
Yeah, it's released as a VHS.
It's got a segment. It's got a lot of billion sections with Tom Baker.
Yeah,
and
saying what happened.
And I have it.
I have it too.
I've got it too.
And now you've mentioned it, I remember that Alistair Pearson asked a few weeks ago to actually if he could borrow it. So I wonder if he was going to be involved in some of the artwork for it. And I haven't actually got around to lending it to him yet. Oops. Sorry, dreary me. I will get around to lending it to him, so hopefully not too late. Shada, it's quite good. I'll be interested to see what they do with it now, because obviously they're going to do something different to it.
Well, this is rude, Adam.
Hey? What's rude?
They're talking about Forbidden Planet. You can have a play around with that universal remote control.
Oh, yes.
That looks like the Sonic Screwdriver. It says, see it, touch it, try it, buy it.
God. Will you start fiddling with your sonic screwdriver, please?
That's not
Sorry.
Me.
Please.
Right,
The
Olympic 100-meter final is just about to start, and it'll only take 10 seconds, so I might get distracted. Right, eBay this week. Guess what's the most expensive item are currently listed at... Why is it listed in dollars? Don't quite understand this.
Know.
Hang on, why
not?
If I manage to get onto the
American
shop...
Even the right one.
It says... $6,941. I'm confused.
Are you in the wrong store?
It's all American stuff. What's going on? 100 meters final. I'm just going to watch this for a second. And they're running very fast.
And they're off.
I have a horse.
And
on
I think the Usain
right
Bolt
now.
Has just gone into the lead. Miles into the lead.
A horse.
He's broke the Olympic record, but not the world record. Stand up straight. Now he's gone on the go. He's kissing the pitch. Sorry, the track. No, actually, he was headbutting the track. Then he kissed it, and then he's doing a strange
Welcome
pose.
Welcome to the Adam Pearson Olympic commentary.
He's doing a strange pose, and he's just turned around. He's got the word
once we
bolt.
Get back
Will
to
you
talking about
stop
eBay,
interrupting me?
Very interesting.
He's got the word bolt written on his chest. So if that, there we go. That was
that's
the,
probably him, then, isn't it?
The Olympic.
He's a Disney
final.
Dog.
Yeah, that's a brilliant. I do like Bolt. He looks like magic. Anyway.
I've got that on Blu-ray.
Back to eBay. The original Dalek artwork TV century.
Let me point something out here. I've brought up two tabs. One is ebay.co.uk. One is ebay.com.
Yes.
I did a Doctor Who search.
Yes.
I've got them both sorted by price highest first.
Oh, God, yeah.
The same thing is on the U.S. side, but in dollars.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, I get confused
that's
by
what
this
just said.
Dollars stuff. Because it doesn't make sense.
I get confused by your strange little L thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, converting them to dollars, yeah.
Longer lasting currency and all that. It's been around for longer, isn't it? Pounds. price, shipping, best match, highest fare.
Doesn't matter how long it's been around. It's
okay,
go about 100% for us.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The Australian dollar's worth more than the US dollar.
No, it doesn't work for me, right? On the British eBay, my list comes up with the Dalek artwork TV Century for £4,450. When I look on the American the eBay.com, it comes up with genuine BBC licensed life-size replica Bonds Gold Dalek Doctor Who David Tennant era.
That's weird, because mine is the same original Dalek artwork TV Century 21 for $6,941. A lot of the same things are here. That's interesting.
Okay, well, the number one item.
Slightly different order.
Please be quiet. The number one item, with bits against it, for £1,400, is a Doctor Who screen used Cyberman gun prop from the Five Doctors. It's been mounted on a little plinth with a logo Doctor Who on it. £1,400. Somebody's actually bid against that one. On the American version of eBay, it's the same thing. How astounding.
How much?
Except it's $2,183.
Indeed it is.
Itchy double.
Yes. The next item, the second item on the list, is TARDIS model 1:6 scale of the 1963 TARDIS prop. And that's £500 plus £20 postage. God. That's quite
Windows are the wrong size.
Quite reasonable on the postage, really, considering the size of it. Is that coming up on the American
one? I'm trying to see if it's there.
I don't think it is.
I don't see it.
Let's get it to rematerialize.
Basically, because they can't ship a TARDIS of that size to America. Why don't they just dematerialize it then?
Yeah.
Seems the easier way. But in America, the next item would have been the Doctor Who 7 Cyberman Attack Controller Prop Head Helmet for $467.97.
Yes.
I wonder if that's the next item on the British side. Yes, it is. Although it's only £300, I think. Yeah, £300. Much cheaper than.
Yeah.
No, it's not, Adam. And the final thing.
The equivalent.
The final thing on the United Kingdom side of the eBay. Doctor Who Roger Delgado Master Signed Original Autograph. That is the wrong master, Mr. Rhys Parton. And that's listed.
How much is it?
£205. £205.
That's not bad, actually, is it?
Let's see if it's on the American side.
I think it probably is.
Has that got bids against it?
Yeah, I don't want to mention if it hasn't got a bit. Oh no, the next one on the American side is Doctor Who Millennium FX Authentic White Auton Head Prop for
$319.78. That'd be cool.
Mm.
So, wish I could afford that. Is that like the blank sort of mask, is it?
Actually, I went in whoone.co.uk the other
Where did you go?
Whoone.co.uk the other day, and they got some interesting new 5-inch figures in there, which. Made it look like Character, who built the more recognisable 5-inch figures, have actually changed their names because,
not the Character Options ones.
No, they got the same logo but with a different name.
Oh.
But they've kept that name for the little mini figures, you know, which is a bit odd. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. I was talking about Doctor Who. I'm getting tired now.
Yeah, we were. Goodness me, you're tired.
Yes, I am tired. I've been up since.
I haven't even been to bed.
Oh, stop.
I've been up since yesterday. Now I'm nearly 5 in the morning.
You mean since today?
No, yesterday.
Yes, precisely.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find them on the whoone.co.uk page.
Kirby, are you one who won?
Yeah, here we are. Shut your face. Right.
Which side is that?
Be quiet. Attack of the Cybermen set. with Perry and a cyber leader. A cyber leader retro action figure. The Doctor in the Destiny of the Daleks set. All these available at whowon.co.uk. And of course, you've got the Doctor with Stetson, Doctor in a straitjacket, Fourth Doctor retro action figure.
Adam in a straitjacket.
I mean, they've got a lot more really brilliant stuff than I realised. And I only realised this when I went around there the other day to buy my my Big Finish DVD. CD.
CD. Does the Dalek in the window there have a name?
Brain. Nope. Not as far as I know.
Bob.
It might have one, but I don't
know. Hey, Adam. Yeah? It could be the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, Doug.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go with that one.
Just that.
No.
A bit of a mouthful.
Also,
really.
I have
20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, Dalek.
Thank you. I've acquired a couple of DVDs recently. I acquired Greatest Show in the Galaxy, and that came the other day. Or did I mention that?
Oh, how was it?
I haven't watched it yet. I finished watching the bonus features of the Crotons.
Crotons?
It's okay, but not a lot. Not enough on there.
Lettuce with the crotons.
Yeah.
Did I what? There's quite
a
good.
Some lettuce and some salad dressing?
No, I didn't know. Although, I'll tell you what, I did try yesterday, changing the subject. When I was filming the wedding, I was filming yesterday at the Royal Corinthian Yacht Club in Cowes. Which is patroned by Her Royal Highness, the Princess Royal, and where my dog barked at the Duke of Edinburgh a few years ago.
Why not?
Anyway.
He barks at anyone.
Off with his head.
That's me old dog Tigger. she's here. Oh, Alicia's just come into the room and done a Usain Bolt pose.
Well, you've never named a dog canine?
No, Tigger. It was called Tigger.
They better watch that.
Can I finish sentence? I did watch it.
No, they better. They have.
No, they're not showing this particular event in America at the moment. What are they showing in America at the moment, Kirby?
Commercial.
Commercial? What event are they showing in between the commercials?
I don't know. The TV is behind me, and I was looking at the screen, so I turned around and looked.
It's behind you.
What were they showing before?
I don't know.
Can you shut the door? Because your mum will hear it, I'll get in trouble.
I will let you know as soon as they put an event back on what they're showing.
What was I talking? I was talking about, will you be quiet? Right, anyway,
I
did this
Geico
wedding
ad.
Thing, right, at the Royal Corinthian Yacht Club, and we were given some free food. Very nice it was. Where are you going?
Going back up now.
Yeah, and the free food is something I've never tried before. Will you shut up? It was, they slopped this thing on the plate. It was obviously a starter. I thought, that looks interesting. I wonder if it's cheese. Anyway, I started eating it. It tasted quite nice, a bit rich, but quite nice. And I said, what is this? And he said, it was goat's cheese.
Oh, that's
yum.
It's
nice.
It was actually quite nice. I was quite surprised.
Yeah. Goat's cheese is lovely.
Quite adventurous of me.
Yeah.
It was quite nice. Very rich, because I could have done with a cracker to stick it on. And then I had chicken curry after that. Chicken curry, nice and very nice. That was too.
Okay, we have live on NBC right now is volleyball still. Not beach, regular.
I don't think we've won any more. Apart from Harry winning the gold medal, we haven't won many medals today. Still third
today
in
the. Today is supposed to start the synchronized swimming, and that's what I want to watch.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yes.
Foe?
Did you say foe? Did you call me a foe then?
were we going to discuss. No, foe. Are we going to mention who this iconic star is?
No, go on then.
No, are we going to mention?
Are we supposed to know then?
I'm lost.
We don't know yet.
Any sort of ideas? What's somebody this? Just suggested David Warner.
Oh yeah, we know David Warner's going to be.
We already know about
but
that,
it says
right. I'm going to have a wild stab in the dark and guess it might be Richard E. Grant.
It says apparently the iconic star has been in Doctor Who before, and they're talking about Warner doing a voice in Dreamland. Says they won't announce the return of a previous Doctor like this. They'd make much more of an announcement in the press for such big news of a returning Doctor, surely.
Mm. So what do you think then, Robert?
I said the Queen. Come on, she did the Olympics. Honestly.
Adam, what time is it there right now?
5 past 10.
So we have just under 2 hours until we know.
Yeah, well, I'm not hanging around that long.
No.
I've got to go into work at some point tomorrow to be signed off for using the slicer behind the deli when on my day off as well. So it's just as well we're not recording tomorrow. By the way, I've got the beach volleyball on at the moment. Four. USA wow. beating Czechoslovakia by three whatever points to two. I might keep this, oh my goodness, that's a great camera angle. They just said this camera angle looking up at two bottoms. I'm going to keep this on. Full credit to the American ladies for looking rather nice. Actually, the Czech ones aren't too bad. It's just the Americans are wearing shorts, but the Czechs are wearing long sort of leggings. So the Americans are catching the eye a bit better than the Czechs at the moment. Oh my goodness! Especially in that camera angle.
What's the temperature in London right now? This is outdoors.
Going up, it is outdoors.
It is floodlit, and obviously it's cold enough for the Czechs to wear leggings. But the Americans are quite happy to. Treat us to treat the cameramen at this particular event.
Well, what's the temperature in? You don't know the temperature there, huh? Am I going to have to look it up?
Yes. I don't know what the temperature is. It's quite comfortable, shall we say. Americans have been playing when it's been daytime, bearing in mind it's gone 10 now, in bikinis, but they're wearing short, well, sort of like hot pants, but with a sort of a top thing on. So it's only their bottoms that are really on show, and it does look great. Well done, it's American ladies. I hope they win, because if they're going to continue wearing kit like that, I'll be quite happy for them to continue.
63 degrees.
Hey?
Hey?
It's 63 degrees.
That's very hot.
That's Fahrenheit.
Ooh, that's very comfortable.
Old-fashioned Fahrenheit, yes, that's right. Yeah.
That's a bit chilly, if you ask me.
Ununderstandable Fahrenheit.
Now, everybody, Kirby wants to record on Sunday next week. Are we all up for that one?
Sunday is always good for me.
Then we'll record on Sunday next week. And we'll be watching a two-part story.
Yeah, that means Reese can be with us too.
Yay!
Quite looking forward to seeing the two-part story we're going to watch. And
me.
Oh, you are as well.
Yes. And then the next week they'll be back to a normal. Back
yes,
to Monday.
Yes. And then there's some...
Kirby, is there such a thing as normal?
Not here.
If you'd allow me to finish the sentence I was trying to...
Ask Kirby to define normal.
Yes.
We're going to be watching The Sound of Drums and The Last of the Time Lords next week.
I thought you were going to say The Sound of Music for a second.
No.
Here come the drums, here come...
I don't remember too many drums appearing in Doctor Who, apart from at the end of the beginning. Quiet. Of the end of Time, Part 1.
The sound of drums.
I'll have a nervous breakdown and get cramp in my right leg. I'm going to sign off and say congratulations, listeners, for actually sitting through this. And just to finish off the show, and so we can get the last word for once on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Bye. After everybody else has said goodbye, it's Ian Kirk. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. The Infinite Quest by Alan Barnes. This animated adventure was originally broadcast in 12 parts on a children's show called Totally Doctor Who. The show got cancelled so they could concentrate on the Sarah Jane adventures. There's another connection with Sarah Jane. Anthony Head plays a villain, Balthazar, and he was in school reunion with her. Lisa Tarbuck is in this as a pirate captain. Yo ho ho! Or do people not actually say that? I'm not accusing Stephen Moffat of anything, but some people might. The Doctor is randomising his destination, like Tom Baker's Doctor did when he was travelling with Romana in The Key to Time. Also, they're looking for 4 data chips, as Tom was looking for the segments of The Key to Time. Pilot Kelvin had a flying armoured suit. In the original book of Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein, that is what the troopers were like, but for the film version they saved money by not having the suits. Also, they are fighting an insect enemy, so it might be a Heinlein tribute. All the actors did a good job and I enjoyed it. It is sort of halfway between an audio drama and TV episode. Farewell then, Mary Tam. She was from Yorkshire, although she did not have an accent. She played that companion with the really long name. And what does Romana de Vratmelunda mean in Gallifreyan?
Is that your sonic screwdriver? You're just happy to see me.
Bye for now.
Production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!